Johnny Vedmore on today's News Talk TNT.
Hello, my friends. Welcome to another Johnny Vedmore show on today's News Talk TNT. And I am happy to be back on another day. And we're going to cover a lot. We have two main guests today, and I'm really looking forward to speaking to them. I'll talk about it a little bit later, but we have talked about two main issues this week. We've been talking about a lot about transgender issues and a lot about vaccine damage. That'll continue today with a lot of talk about what's actually happening, but there's been news today as well on the trans front, and we'll get into that. But first, my friends, let me start off by saying World War III seems just around the corner. Happy note to start off with. I know it feels that way. Sometimes we all panic a little when we see some of the breaking news which suggests that our forces are on the move. But what can we do? If there is a change of pace on the global scene, and the Western Wehrmacht begins to roll towards global warfare, it will be sparked by an event. Let's say that Israel attacks Iran again, and Iran and maybe another Middle Eastern state officially declares war on Israel. That may be enough to spark an all-out global conflict. Firstly, a response won't be immediate. Although the fear of all-out warfare will spark panic, that panic will always subside. We won't suddenly be put on ration cards, and the air raid sirens warning us of incoming bombing raids will not suddenly begin to wail. We will instead see people act like headless chickens, doing exactly what decapitated poultry have always done, running around and grabbing as much stuff as they possibly can. But eventually, the fear will weaken once people realize that their death is not imminent. Yes, your death won't be imminent. I'm sorry to tell you that. However, to make people hand over control during a time of major warfare, they must not only anticipate danger, but they must experience it firsthand. So let this be a miniature guide to what you can first expect if they do start manufacturing consent for total war. Firstly, they need you to know about it. They need you to realize that this is different. And so they'll use the internet in a multitude of ways. They'll start by telling you that it's about to happen, leaving you with the feeling of impending doom. Then they'll cut off the internet. In 2021, Whitney Webb and I wrote an article predicting a cyber pandemic, which was being simulated by the World Economic Forum in a program referred to as Cyber Polygon. It wasn't only Western powers involved, with representatives such as Tony Blair turning up and various members of the US security state, but it was actually hosted by the Prime Minister of Russia, Mikhail Mishustin, alongside Russia's main financial institution, Sberbank, and one of their intelligence operations. It was a simulation of coordinated cyber attack, which would bring down large parts of our cyber infrastructure. A cyber pandemic would be useful to beckon in an array of changes. It could be used to cause the downfall of the financial institutions, leaving government-backed CBDCs as your best options to send and receive funds. It could be used to create a new internet, one where surveillance is constant and censorship is easier for the powers that be to enact. But, of course, it could be used to bring down all communications at the start of a global conflict, to make it almost impossible for regular people to find out what is really happening. Many others have co-opted a very old phrase when they say, the only barrier between us and anarchy is the last nine meals we've had. The exact phrase I've just said can be traced back to 1896 and Alfred Henry Lewis, but others have rephrased it as we're only 9 meals away from anarchy. And it may be true, but that food for thought could also be redesigned for the modern cyber age. Maybe we could say we're only 9 missed messages away from anarchy too. Once people can no longer communicate online, panic will also set in. People will start to let their imaginations run wild. We have become slaves to our electronic world, and the separation anxiety which will come as a result of that will be extreme. The ruling establishment knows this. It is a tool within their armory. So there has to be balance. They will feed you enough information to be scared, and then they will cut off all information. Emergency services will be pulled. Martial law will be enacted. A rush to prepare will ensue. And all of this could happen without any war really taking place. How would you know war is happening or not if you have zero connection with the outside world? We are entering into a time where the West will likely pull the plug, so you cannot stop what they want to do. World war would be insane. But has anything our governments, anything that our governments are doing right now, is any of it sane? Whatever happens, you must remain calm. There is no use in panicking. That's exactly what they want. Until you know what's really happening, you're stuck under the spell of those who will trick you into supporting their genocidal lust. Prepare, be calm, learn to get by without the trappings of this modern world. Wait out the panic. When this starts, be like water. They desire your panic. Panic is a form of tacit agreement, and it's tantamount to complicity. Even when you hear the sirens, be like water. Now, I want to say the Weekend Truth Festival again. I've reminded you most days. If you would like to see all your favorite freedom fighters on one stage across one weekend, then listen up. The Weekend Truth Festival will feature speakers such as Katie Hopkins, Kate Shemirani, Dolores Cahill, Matt Letizier, Mark Atwood, David Clues, allegedly Dave, Sovereign Pete, and many others. All of this across one weekend on the 3rd, 4th, and 5th of May in Workington near the Lake District in the UK. All you need to do, bring your tent, a sleeping bag, and some good vibes, as food stalls, workshops, bushcrafts, and amenities will be provided on site. For more information and to find out how to reserve your place at the festival, please visit weekendtruthfestival.co.uk. But don't hang around, because only a limited number of places are still available. You're listening to today's news talk on TNT.
Connecting the dots, painting the bigger picture.
They always have great conversation.
Today's news talk radio, TNT.
So, the news, people. The United Arab Emirates and neighboring states were hit hard this week by the region's heaviest rains on record, which have resulted in devastating floods, dozens of fatalities, significant damage, and interrupted flights. Of course, the UAE's recent cloud seeding missions probably had absolutely nothing to do with it. At least that's what the local government would like everyone to believe. Here with the story, join me now is TNT News producer Adam Clark, aka Ruckus. How's it going?
Well, it's good, other than the conversation you tried to start with me earlier this morning had me questioning reality. But other than that, I suppose I'm feeling good that I'm nice and dry where I'm at here in Central Texas. However, I cannot say the same, unfortunately, for all of the fine folks out in the United Arab Emirates, the UAE, which was inundated with water, lots of it. Lots of it. Earlier this week, I believe on Tuesday, following after storms, incredible storms, dumped more than a year and a half's amount of rain in just a few hours. It's pretty wild. I'm sure you all have seen videos by now. If not, I encourage you to check it out. It's pretty intense. This flooded roads, as well as the international airport, which is based in the metropolis of Dubai. neighboring Oman also witnessed heavy rains and flooding that killed at least 20 people, sadly. And then the inevitable happened rather quickly. Yeah, there's some speculation going around, Johnny, quite a bit of it on social media and whatnot, linking cloud seeding, which we're going to get into a little bit, to the unprecedented precipitation. But don't worry, experts have come out and said, no, that couldn't be it. Obviously, everyone knows what caused this is climate change. Yep, that's where they went with this. According to a few reports here, actually, I like how I'm going to go with this segment from the Blaze Media, who points out that a government meteorologist indicated early on that the UAE's well-known geoengineering efforts were at least partly to blame. However, now that there is a body count, the government task force responsible for cloud seeding missions in the region is attempting to deny responsibility. They are rolling it back. Every single mainstream media outlet, if I'm not mistaken, including The Guardian, Wired, Reuters, even Al Jazeera, if you can believe it, are rushing with articles today that say, ah, no, there's nothing to this cloud seeding thing. It's clearly climate change. When, guess what, folks? Yes, they were doing cloud seeding missions just before this happened. So they're really trying their hardest to walk this back. I don't believe them. In case you don't know what it is, cloud seeding has been around since the 1940s. It is a controversial weather modification technique whereby aircraft, rockets, cannons, or ground generators release various chemicals and tiny particles, such as potassium chloride, into clouds in an effort to artificially increase precipitation. One of the things that the experts are coming out and talking about today, Johnny, about this is they want everyone to know they cannot create rain out of thin air, that it already has to be in the cloud. But that doesn't take away from the fact that they're still doing this and, you know, we shouldn't be playing God. A famous story about this was, I believe it was called Operation Popeye, if I'm not mistaken. They used this technique to flood the roads in Vietnam. It was actually used as a war mission thing. So I consider these types of things war against the people, Johnny, but what say you?
Yeah, I've been actually doing a lot of research throughout my throughout the past few years on things that end up skirting alongside this. Of course, anybody who's read my article, Port and Down's Ideological Cloud, will know that they've, in Britain, it's documented, well documented, that since the 1940s and 50s until at least the 1970s, where they stopped admitting it, or they didn't accept responsibility for doing it thereafter, they've been spraying everything they possibly can out of planes. They've not only been cloud seeding, but they've been spraying all types of chemicals, including zinc, cadmium sulfide, which is extremely cancerous, and then checking how many people go into the hospitals. And then they were spraying E. coli out of ships on the south coast, out of planes, out of automobiles, the back of vans. I mean, you can actually see a lot of this was a lot of what I'm talking about was let out by the mainstream in the late 90s and early noughties, when Port and Down were trying to reform their image after years of extremely bad press for constantly testing and experimenting on the human population that they had under them. Port and Down, which is meant to be about defense, doesn't know how to defend you unless first it starts to kill you. So this includes the people of East Lulworth on the south of the country, who, when they did one of these points on the ship where they were spraying out E. coli all over the place, well, they I think it was a plane that they spraying out, and they had a load left over, so they just dumped it all out into one place. And of course, East Lulworth ended up getting the brunt of it, and it was probably about 11 plus birth defects that were on top of what you would normally expect that happened afterwards. And they were watching people, how many people went into the hospitals afterwards. I mean, this is completely unbelievable in that sense. They've done it over and over again. I think that this, the cloud seeding part of it, is just an extension, and also is good cover. I know that sounds like a pun, But imagine you wanted to do even more evil and nefarious stuff than just spraying people with spraying the skies with cloud seeding technology, when you actually want to spray them with other stuff and continue doing the experiments that you did for 30, 40 years to see how many people would go into hospital and would be injured by your actions. Because that's what we're dealing with. We're dealing with complete psychopaths. So I'm not surprised to see that these new flourishing economies, like the ones that we see always working with the West in the Middle East, are doing the same thing now. Did you say it was just the United Arab Emirates who have been spraying, or was is this wider regionally now?
Oh, this is a common practice all over the world now, including here in the States. I think Utah's been in the news recently for showing that, hey, this works, it helps. It always makes one wonder when there are wildfires in places like California, or it's too hot and too dry, and we're like, boy, I wish it would rain. Why don't they use this technology to help people? I'll never understand. And I'm not saying anything as nefarious is happening here with Dubai and the United Arab Emirates. But Johnny, if it was indeed a test of some sort, I say it was a test into this concept that we've been talking about for a long time, in particular on this network here, the idea that they want to treat the climate alarmist threat the same way they treated the pandemic. And lo and behold, in the advent of this crisis that we're seeing unfold in the UAE, their National Emergency Crisis and Disaster Management Authority urged citizens to stay at home. That's right. Schools also switched to remote mode, and government employees have also been told to work from home. So we're witnessing them issuing lockdown orders again in response to a public threat that could or could not have been caused by their own government. Johnny, go figure.
Yeah, I'm looking at over at the chat, and lots of people are talking about this. Laurie's saying big storms in the US, power outages all over the place yesterday and last night. Wild Heather saying if there's excessive rain in one place, there will be a drought somewhere else. And that's extremely important, especially when it comes to like the floodplains of Egypt, where enough water changes the actual where the water flows on the ground. Of course, I mean, the waters in Egypt have changed locations historically over thousands of years due to the rainfall that occurs. And also this idea that we have got this technology that's cloud seeding, and that it hasn't changed in all of that time they've been using it. So they've been using cloud seeding technology since the 1940s. It would be extremely naive of us to think that they haven't got better or more effective. So when they say things like, oh yes, but you need actual moisture in the sky, don't you? That's what you need. Do you anymore? Has the technology changed? Do we even know what they're doing anymore? Has technology increases exponentially, grows, changes, morphs? I'd be really interested to see what other information comes from this eventually. But as always, it's always a small amount of information that comes out about these extremely, I mean, this is controversial, the idea of changing our environment, man-made changes to the environment is very controversial, especially when you're tricking people and pretending you're not doing it at the same time. I also have to say that I've seen a lot of flights, so flight logs where you see these planes go up and they're clearly doing the same backwards forwards maneuver, slowly blanketing skies. Now what they're doing on those flights you don't know, but you can see by the radar that they're definitely moving as though they're cloud seeding. One other thing I'd say, not to go on too much about this, but when I was living in Chile, there was zero evidence of cloud seeding, or however people refer to things like chemtrailing and stuff. No, not at all. I did not see one bit of it. come to the UK and it's all over the place all of the time. And they tell me that that's just the way it looks like when a plane flies over. And I was living near an airport in Chile. So I don't believe any of it. And I think other people in the world have a completely different experience to us. It's a big one. I know we're waiting on someone to come in the room now. So we're going to take a small break and we'll be back soon. You're listening to Today's News Talk on TNT.
TNT's Rick Munn.
The U.S. have provided assurances to prevent Julian Assange's appeal against extradition. So the death penalty will not be imposed, they said. But WikiLeaks founder's wife, Stella Assange, said he will not be afforded First Amendment protections. So last month, two judges deferred a decision on whether Assange, who is trying to avoid being prosecuted in the US on espionage charges, clearly relating to the publication of thousands of classified documents that they say endanger life, and so on and so forth. So bottom line is here, the US government have said, pinky promise, we won't put him to death when he gets there. Yeah, that's a little bit like if a crocodile could talk or a great white could talk and you're on a surfboard and you're thinking of going into the ocean for a little dip and he said, don't worry, I won't bite.
Locked and Loaded with Rick Munn on Today's News Talk, TNT.
A better business tip from TNT Radio. News Talk radio listeners are some of the most active and involved listeners of any format. TNT radio listeners rely on TNT radio often as their primary source of information. They trust TNT radio and are highly engaged with the content. If you'd like more information about advertising on TNT radio, simply fill out your details on our contact page and we'll be in touch. To find out more, go to tntradio.live.
The conversation continues.
I don't believe it, and I think that's a terrible position that I am in, that I don't trust my government.
This is Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
There was a load of things happening, wasn't there, over the past day as well. I'm looking over the chat again and seeing that Laurie was saying 911 went down in over 10 states. Fiber cable or some nonsense, of course. I'm really, really in the chat. If any of you guys want to pose any questions to our coming guests, remember, try and put a cue there so I note it. I do try and keep a good eye on the chat because I love interacting with you guys. I can see that there's always people who are saying some good stuff. Good old Don Rumsfeld, Cancer King, Aspartame in your fizzy drinks prior, so he got promoted, says El Cid. They're all having a conversation in there. So get in the chat. If you want to have some good conversations, it's really a good place to hang out. There's some good people there. I've met a few of them, and they're very nice, you know. And Little Carol said, it only stopped raining here in the last 3 days. Probably be raining this weekend. And I found last summer in Britain to be completely grey skies all of the time. I think we all feel that we are not only being tested on via things like vaccines and experimental medical treatments, but we feel like we're being tested on in every single way that modern science can. And I do get a feeling that this is because modern science, as I was saying yesterday, has become a weird and twisted science. And I do think that has a lot to do with World War II, the Nazis, of course, and their weird science, and how instead of listening to Churchill during his own speech, who I'm sure would have probably been down with testing on us all anyway, when he was saying weird and twisted science, and that's why we have to go in against the Nazis. Instead, they picked up all of those Nazis in things like Operation Paperclip, stuck them all on planes and gave them jobs in the West so they could continue their weird and twisted science on us. And I do think there's a massive continuation that we are experiencing. What a lot of people, I think a lot of people define it as Nazi science. We're being tested upon as though we are just back in Ravensbrück or one of the other concentration camps every single day, instead of it being a special event for a certain ideology everybody gets it. And when I was talking about Horton Down in the first half and then spraying Britain, if you go online and you look on YouTube or somewhere and you find Pafe videos, put in Pafe, so Paf with an E on the end, Pafe videos, Horton Down. And go and see the hello and welcome to Horton Down in from the 1950s or 60s. And at one point, it shows a map in the background of the UK, and there's a load of different lines drawn across the map. That is actually the map of them spraying the entirety of the UK with various chemicals. And you'll see that they weren't just spraying one area. They were trying to work out how they can possibly spray everybody. And that suggests to me that they have something else planned, that they have a different idea, that it has to be all-encompassing. And the test upon us is something that they're really pushing forward and have done for many, many years. Now, we're going to go for a quick news break now. You're listening to today's News Talk on TNT.
Hear about it.
We're depending on our congressmen.
Talk about it.
The people have to stand up and say enough.
Now, TNT Radio News.
For TNT, this is James O'Neill. Former President Donald Trump met with Polish President Andrzej Duda in New York City to discuss NATO spending and ongoing global conflicts. During the meeting, they focused on Duda's proposal to increase NATO defense spending to 3% and discuss the situations in Ukraine and Israel. Multiple states, including Nevada, South Dakota, and parts of Nebraska, are experiencing 911 emergency line outages, with landline calls particularly affected.
Sometimes, a car comes along that changes everything, with innovations never thought possible and features that make you wonder, how did people survive without this? This is that time, and this is that car. This is the world's first VWB. Equipped with transparent doors to eliminate reasonable suspicion, whatever that means. A 10-2 steering wheel that keeps hands visible at all times. We remove the glove box so there's no confusion about what the driver is reaching for. With a touch of a button, the ultrasonic biometric scanner displays the license and registration of the driver to ensure contactless exchange of information. With no trunk, nothing can be concealed, so therefore, there is nothing to search and seize. To ensure you'll never be mistaken for breaking the speed limit, we've installed limited edition airless tires. And we removed the engine because, honestly, why risk it? DWB, the first vehicle of its kind, where the safety feature is the car itself.
We're the pinup boys and poster girls for free speech. We just don't look as impressive as Vladimir Putin shirtless on a horse. Yeah. 24/7, 365, we never stop sifting fact from fiction, misinformation from the truth. From government overreach to the latest on mandates, big tech censorship to propaganda gone mad. Listen to TNT Radio and get the news and views direct from our expert presenters and commentators anywhere you go. Ask Alexa or Google to play TNT Radio or download the TNT Radio app for free from the App Store or Google Play. Today's News Talk, this is TNT Radio.
Welcome back to the Johnny Bedmore Show on today's News Talk TNT. Well, we're waiting on bringing on our first guest on this hour. I'm just going to go quickly across again to the chat and just say there's been a lot of people talking about what we were talking about with Horton Down and the relation also to World War III and the potential of that. Well, Lord Melbury says, ham radio will be banned next. They want to stop our ability to communicate with each other because they fear us getting organized, which is extremely accurate. If we can organize and whatever they do and however they take us down and try and stop us to communicate in, well, at least we can communicate in our localities. El Cid says Port and Down equals Novichok. Indeed, of course, Sergei Skripal and the Yulia Skripal with the supposed Novichok poisoning. Now, that was in Salisbury, just down the road from Port and Down. In actual fact, Sergei Skripal, if you didn't know, had a very infamous British handler, and his handler had an even more interesting handler. You see, Sergei Skripal's handler was a guy called Pablo Miller, who was a famed UK spy, and his boss was Christopher Steele, who wrote the Steele dossier at the beginning of the elections with Trump. These guys are all in this together, and not in a good way, not at all. There's lots of brilliant people, like I say, speaking in the chat, and I would love it if you got in there too. I see Mogden's in there as well. We're going to go back across with Ruckus, and we're going to look at a tiny bit more news before we go across to our first guest. So what have you got for us, Ruckus?
Well, I'll give you your choice, Johnny. How about that? Or we can flip a coin. I could either talk some Palestinian news, or we could discuss the elephant in the room, so to speak. And we've got a bunch of furries staged a protest out in Utah, students at a school. So your choice. You want to talk about Palestine, or would you like to talk about furries? I already know where you're going.
I'm going to say Palestine because you know where I'm going. Oh,
okay.
let's do it.
I was ready to report on furries. All right. No, anyways, just kidding. That's a true story, folks. Google it. But anyways, here in the United States, we do have an important thing happening. Yesterday, on Wednesday, the U.S. House of Representatives made an interesting vote. They came together and they decided we're now going to condemn the chant, "From the river to the sea, Palestine will be free." That will now be considered hate speech. Yep. Okay, then. The slogan, which dates to the 1960s, calls for a Palestinian state between the Jordan River and the Mediterranean Sea. Israel has argued that this implicitly denies its right to exist in the same territory. One of the sponsors of this bill, Congressman Josh Gottmeier, says, quote, "Our resolution makes it clear that the slogan, 'From the river to the sea, Palestine will be free,' is anti-Semitic and calls for the total eradication of the Jewish Democratic State of Israel and the annihilation of the Jewish people," end quote. That's a lot to pack into just a small little slogan, but it is what it is. Congress has the responsibility to, quote, "condemn disgusting, divisive, and dehumanizing chants," end quote, "and fight against," quote unquote, "prejudice and hate," end quote. That is what Gottheimer said. Gottheimer, he is a New Jersey Democrat. The other two sponsors for the bill were New York Republican Anthony DeSposito and Florida Democrat Jared Moskowitz. So, Johnny, what do you think about that before I get to the next bit of news?
I find it amazing. I mean, come on. The amount of times that they use the word term anti-Semitic now is just through the roof. And every time they say it, they should know it loses its value. Every time it's just constantly depleting in value because they're saying it about something that is within Judaism as well. Uniting the river to the sea is actually within scripture. That's the whole point of what they're trying to create with Israel. That's what they're doing. So it is even more, it's like through the looking glass, because they're saying the river and the sea should be that chant should be banned, while at the same time they're creating Israel to be only Israeli from the river to the sea. So they're doing the exact thing the chant is saying, while the chant is just a slogan to try and draw up support for the other side. So I find it it's like esoterically baffling. If you think about it too much, your brain, your eyes will turn in circles. My sister used to be able to twiddle around her eyeballs in different directions when she did that. But it would make you fall over in no time whatsoever and convulse on the floor. Because at the end of the day, the hypocrisy, the grand hypocrisy, while you're destroying the people from the river to the sea, saying the river and the sea must be free, should be banned. Well, that's just you saying, well, the Israelis saying, well, we got to ban people from saying we're killing Palestinians. Well, we're killing Palestinians in the future, because then if we ban that and say that's anti-Semitic, no one can complain as we kill Palestinians. And the same with this. It's just an amazing use of words, isn't it? It's amazing use of words. Do you really want to go from that into the furries? I'm happy to.
No. I was half kidding about the furries, although that is a real story. There is another piece of news related to what I'm reporting now. Real quick, by the way, this is just like some sort of resolution. It's like it's not an official law, because this is the United States of America here. And the First Amendment of our Constitution prohibits Congress from making any laws limiting the freedom of speech, press, or assembly. But anyways, however, we are coming up on Friday. What is going to happen is another Gaza-related showdown, this time in a very divided United Nations Security Council, because Council member Algeria has prepared a draft resolution for the body to recognize a state of Palestine. Yep. So they are pushing forward, hoping to put to vote. This isn't going to happen. I mean, just so you know, I mean, it's not going to happen. But yes, somebody is prepared to try to recognize Palestine as a state. In order for this to happen, which is why I say it's not going to happen, it requires 9 votes and no vetoes on the part of the United States, Britain, France, Russia, or China in order to pass. So that means it's probably not going to happen, given what we hear from the United States every day, Johnny, about how much of a close ally Israel is. So there is the Palestine update for you, my friend.
Yeah, that's I tell you, I did a documentary piece called Palestine is a Conspiracy Theory? And that really, I go back to 1700s, where they're talking about Palestine as though it's a state. You know, even Napoleon tried to convince the Palestinians to rise up against the people who were in charge at the time there. So, I mean, it's always been recognized, kind of. Terrible to hear. Thank you for that, Ruckus. We're going to go to a short break. You're listening to today's News Talk on TNT.
Right now, the forgotten poor are waiting for healing and care, for life-saving medical care, for a chance to live with dignity and hope. They are waiting for Mercy Ships and you. Mercy Ships is the largest floating civilian hospital in the world, with volunteer medical staff and crew who donate their time to save lives. And now, as our newest state-of-the-art hospital ship sets sail, Mercy Ships will double our ability to reach children and adults who need us now.
Without the work of Mercy Ships, these patients don't have another option.
Mercy Ships is answering the call to serve suffering people who have nowhere else to turn. Together, we are going to some of the world's most desperate places and bringing a wave of hope and healing to those who need it most. To learn more about this wave of hope, go to mercyships.org today.
The impact of a meal goes well beyond feeding our bodies. Because when people are fed, futures are nourished. Everyone deserves to live a full life. And with your help, together we can end hunger. Join the movement at feedingamerica.org/act now.
Talk that matters. Johnny Vedmore on today's News Talk, TNT.
Welcome back, my friends, and thank you for sticking with us. I'm going to be talking to Dave Brown now, who is a coach, educator, school board chair, podcaster. He, along with his wife, Judy, are on a mission to protect girls and women in sports. That is an important thing to do for sure. Dave believes that dads are key to this fight, and he's focused on encouraging men everywhere to stand up for women in their own lives. You can go to his website, standtallwithdavebrown.com. Or is Twitter Stand Tall with Dave Brown. Dave, thanks for coming on the Johnny Vedmore Show. Can you tell the listeners how you ended up proactively campaigning on this subject?
Well, Johnny, I appreciate being on. I'm sorry the audio or the video didn't work out, but next time. My wife and I spent, for myself, 20 years on the school board, 35 years coaching basketball and tennis. My wife is just retiring after 34 years teaching. I was 4 years on the school board after retiring. And the last 4 years we've coached together in another town called Canby, Oregon. And on this particular subject, we had seen boys actually playing in girls' sports. And, you know, we just couldn't go back, Johnny, to coaching a team this year full of girls, 45 of them. And our number one mission was always to protect them and to be honest with them and the parents. And in Oregon, they're allowing boys to play in girls' sports by going to their district school office and just changing their paperwork and saying, I'm a girl this time. I'm going to participate in a girls' sport, even though they're a biological male. And so we went to the school board and we resigned and, it was tough, you know, long coaching career, done pretty well. And we didn't really want to leave this way. But, and again, we couldn't support what's going on, you know, here. And it's happening more and more. Just another big event happened this last week. Another big event's happening today in Oregon where boys are playing in girls' sports.
Yeah, I've been talking with a few people from Oregon who say there's a very big problem, including Representative Ed Deal. It seems to be a state that really, really is on the forefront of this. Of course, it's very left-wing historically. Now, you have 5 kids and 8 grandchildren, so I'll say congratulations to that. But what type of world do you see them growing up in?
Well, I'm a strong believer, you know, in Jesus. So I you know, I'm pretty optimistic, you know, in my coaching and in life and stuff. In Oregon, there's a lot of great people. There really is. But we've been left-leaning for a long time. And most of that is because people don't vote. If everybody get out there and vote, we could get more common sense, you know, government representation. So I'm hopeful that's where our fight with Stand Tall is, to get people to stand up and stick up for our country and stick up for their families. And, you know, we're encouraging people in this particular fight to tell the parents, you know, to tell the girls, no, we're not going to participate, and just, you know, shut this thing down from the get-go. That's really hard, easy to say, hard to do, though. You know, for a lot of, you know, when kids are in middle school, high school, the last thing in the world they want is to have the focus light put on them. You know, they just want to be kids. They just want to play their sports and do stuff. And so all these adult agenda-based type things, they're not really into. But I know we've had so many people reach out to us, Johnny, and complain and are hurt big time by girls' sports being damaged, you know, this way. It's really hurtful and harmful to a lot of people. So for the very few that participate and think they're okay to do this, they're hurting a lot of people, a lot of girls, a lot of moms, a lot of dads, a lot of grandparents, a lot of former athletes like my wife, you know, who was a really good athlete in school. And so we're, as longtime coaches, we just want to get this thing back to being girls' sports and boys' sports. And then the issue of, you know, where these boys who say they're girls, where they should play, we feel like they should play in the boys' sports, and that's a different conversation for another day.
Yeah, I'm a believer that if they want to go down this route in general, societally, then they should probably have a trans category, which is separated again up into multiple categories. I mean, if you're creating a complex situation that's convoluted and has many different angles and is unfair to one and another, then it needs more defining. I'm seeing across in the chat that you've got masses of support, of course. Dark Commission saying sports women and girls should go on strike. Is that something that you think that you can get female athletes on board with eventually? Or do you find most of the bigger female athletes to be quite quiet on these front?
I think it's both ways. I think it's blowing up. I really believe, Johnny, like just in the state of Oregon, which is a left-leaning state, that people are waking up though, and people are starting to say, whoa, wait a minute here. And and that's good. That's what we're trying to do, is stand tall on every issue, is stand up and have an idea what's going on. I always use the term, people have a kindergarten education of politics or Jesus or sports or whatever it is. You know, for me, it'd be mechanics. I'm a terrible mechanic. And people need to know more than kindergarten level, you know, to get involved and know what's going on. And I think that the damage, one person thinks that, you know, we're concerned about this boy thinking he's a girl, you know, to play. What about that boy? Well, what about the thousands of girls and family members that are impacted in a negative way about this? So, our society, at least here, has gotten a little bit selfish. Even more so than it has been in the past. And so it's a tough time, you know, political. There's people on both sides, and there's not a lot of listening going on. People like to just tell you what's up. But I'd like to say I'm as good as Rod Laver in tennis. I'm a big tennis guy. I'm as good as Pat Cash. I'm as good as Leighton Hewitt, but I'm not. You know, I'm not as good as those guys in tennis. I'm a good tennis coach, and I'm a pretty good player. But you know, those are three of the top Australian players in the history of tennis. And Rod Laver's a legend. And I could say I'm as good as Rod Laver, but I'm not speaking the truth. And I think that's it. You know, it's getting back to what's really truthful. And I think these boys are boys. I think that they can say they're a girl all day long. I can say I'm as good as Rod Laver in tennis, but it's not true. And girls have fought for athletics forever. My wife was in Title IX in the 70s, and the opportunities for girls and women just kept coming, and better and better and better, and then even professional level. And now we're tearing that all backwards, you know, by allowing this to happen. USA Boxing, Dallas Malloy has been on our show. She's in the Hall of Fame for women's boxing. USA Boxing approved men, transgender men playing in, you know, participating in women's boxing. I mean, I don't know who would sit down and make that decision at a table and think that that's okay. That's a dangerous decision.
Completely agree. And we know that Serena Williams organized tennis matches with fairly low down ranked or low ranked males and was completely and utterly obliterated by them. So we can see this obviously a massive difference. And it just allows for someone to gain success by way of how they were born, really, because denser bones, etc., mean that, and more muscle mass means that a male boxer is just going to be hitting a woman. It becomes it seems abusive at every angle. In every way you look at it. So you set up a few things, because you set up Dads for Daughters, and you set up your podcast, The Stand Tall. What type of learning curve has that been for you?
Well, for me and my wife's amazing. She is a longtime educator, 34 years, a coach. She's a researcher. You know, she knew about you guys. She's amazing. And I think that, I learn from something from her every day. You know, she's a mom. She's you know, we're both in our second marriages. You know, I learned all about her life when she was younger, and it was tough being, you know, with somebody that wasn't supportive to her. She's been through breast cancer. You know, she's been through a lot. And as an athlete, you know, she's really proud of what she accomplished as an athlete, as a girl and as a woman. And I think the story that we've heard, that I've been a guy's coach my whole life, Johnny. And so the last 4 years, I think the Lord put us in Canby, Oregon to coach girls so I could understand the female side of this athletic thing better. And I tell you, I loved every second of it. We had great kids in Canby, Oregon, great parents. And then after we resigned and then all of the attention we've gotten, we have just heard extremely damaged and hurt people out there because girls' sports and women's sports are awesome. They need to be just that. And when people say scholarships or things like that, that's part of it. But the bigger part of it is, you know, women have their sports and men have their sports. And comparing the two, like saying guys can beat girls, I mean, that's one thing. The safety factor is huge, like in the boxing thing. To me, that's just so automatic. But the whole thing that women have worked so hard to have, well, let me give you an example. We were down in Indian Wells watching the PNB tennis tournament. You know, they kind of call it the fifth major. It's a two-week tournament, and there's men's division, there's a women's division. And, oh, my goodness, it's so fun to watch the men's division and then the women's division because the game is the same, but it's different. I don't think it's better or worse. It's just the women have their game and the men have their game, and it's awesome. You have two champions. You have the women's champion. You have the men's champion. What would that look like if they combined that?
Yeah, it would be a horror show. I'm pretty positive. I know Wild Heather in the chat says, "What kind of illogical thinking means a bloke can just say, hey, I'm a girl, and people just accept it. Is that a madness? They fail in the men's category, so compete against the girls instead. I mean, it changes what, and like you say, it's the same for what you call soccer. It's the same for football, you know. Is that I watch the women's game, and it's fantastic to watch. Yeah, it's very different from the male game. Male games a lot more. To be honest, I find the men whine a lot more in soccer than the women. The women just get up and get on with it. Talking about that, what are the expectations of these young girls and these young female athletes in the current paradigm where boys are entering into their sports? I suppose it must be both psychological, but there's a physical aspect. Are the boys actually sharing changing rooms with these girls?
Well, that's another factor. Yes, that's happening. Schools on the West Coast, when you talk about Oregon, California, Washington, it's not the same in every state. But, you know, during the day, boys can be in girls' locker rooms. And during PE, you know, physical education, you know, they can actually go in there if they say they're a girl, and they're allowed to do that. And, you know, that's just wrong on every level. But I think the young girls, you know, the high school and the middle school girls, again, you know, they just want to go to school and hang out with their friends and take their test and, you know, go to games and go to Taco Bell and have their lunch. I mean, they just want to be kids, and they don't want to deal with all this, you know, stuff. We've had a good system for a long time, and then just a few years ago, all of a sudden somebody said they don't like this system anymore, and we're going to allow, you know, people to say, I'm something I'm not. And I think young people are awesome. I've loved coaching my whole life. But they don't, they're still growing up. They don't know exactly how to articulate, you know, how to stop this. And when you're on a team and everything, you don't want to be that person saying something. Very few kids have that ability to stand up to adults. And and that's a good thing from a respect standpoint, but it's a bad thing when it's like, so I would move forward to the parents. I think it's really up to the dads and the moms to kind of take over for their 12, 14, 16-year-old daughter and son and say, no, I think the parents have to do it, because I would have never allowed my boys to play against a girl on a court. Never would have allowed it. Would have never. I would have just said, no, we're not playing today. You know, and if I'd have, you know, we have two daughters. I have two daughters through my wife, and we have granddaughters now, and there's no way. If it was my choice, I would say, no, they're not participating today. If it's an all-girls team, we'll play. If there's a boy on the other team, we're not playing. And I think parents have to do that to protect their daughters.
Yeah, it takes a lot to stand up to these type of things. Quickly, we've got about 10 seconds. Do you think it's a matter of time before good sense prevails?
I told you I'm an optimist, so yes, Johnny, I do. And maybe next time when we're together on a show, you can even come and be on our Stand Tall podcast. I would love that. And we'll talk more about that. But yeah, I'm an optimist, and I think that common sense will prevail here and everywhere else.
Dave, you keep up that. You keep up with that attitude. I like it. Thanks for coming on the show, my friend.
I appreciate it, man. You're great. Keep doing what you're doing.
Perfect. Right, for all those watching and listening, don't go anywhere at all. We are coming back with an hour of good conversation and topics, and a guest who's going to be one of the most interesting people I speak to. You're listening to the Johnny Vedmore Show on today's News Talk TNT.